Blink Publishing presents Holding Tight, Letting Go, written by Sarah Hughes and read by Melissa Woodbridge. Introduction by Harriet Tice. If you're lucky, there's a friend you make who becomes integral to your whole life. Sarah was that friend for me. I'd been at the same Edinburgh school from primary one through the tortures of middle school, resigning myself to its monochrome ways and bizarre domination by those girls who excelled at hockey, when Sarah burst in at the start of senior school, lighting the place up with colour and music I'd never heard of, introducing me to whole new worlds. I thought the operettas of Gilbert and Sullivan counted as pop music. She played me Pink Floyd and The Cure. I was obsessed with getting top marks for vocabulary tests. She read Virginia Andrews and showed me the infamous goldfish scene in Shirley Conran's Lace. She wasn't just cool, though. She was kind, too. That year that everyone gave me Body Shop shampoo for greasy hair, 13 is the cruelest age, Sarah gave me Rimmel eyeshadow, greys in the softest pink, refraining from comment on my acne and slick locks. As we turned 14, 15, we were on the cusp of life and Sarah was brimming over with it. We met boys in Princess Street Gardens, drank vodka with them in the graveyard near the West End. We talked long through the day and then later into the evening, her phone number still emblazoned on my memory, 447-1443. One Easter holiday, I made a reverse charge call to her house from the Highlands where I was staying. The bill for that call was £50, a lot of money for a call at any time, but especially in 1988. There was always something to talk about. The words never ran out. Later, when she went to boarding school, the words were written. I still have those letters. Rereading them now transports me straight back to those heady days of boys and smoking, discos and balls. We gossiped, we bitched. If she had nothing to say, stuck in the midst of the rolling hills of Surrey as she was, she made stories up, elaborate fantasies as to why she'd forgotten my birthday or what she'd do to the friends who were being slower to write. She came up with a particularly brilliant list of potential deaths for someone who was being mean to me. We'd read Papillon recently, and red ants played a large role. "You don't understand how much it means to get a letter," she said. But when it was a letter from her, I knew exactly how much it meant. University followed, the letters still passing between us from one end of the country to the other. She had a boyfriend, a boy with green eyes. She'd made friends with the cool kids, who terrified me at my sixth form, and through her they became less terrifying, if not less cool, though of course none was cooler than Sarah. We reconnected in holidays, drinking the pubs of Edinburgh dry, indie discos, Nirvana, a pack of Marlboro Reds, never far out of reach. A night out with Sarah was living, exactly as you'd want it to be. Our 20s passed, letters were fading, emails just beginning. Sarah was in New York, I in London. Our paths crossed again, a reconnection proper happening in 1999. I was getting married. She'd broken up with the boy with green eyes. My wedding was soon after that breakup, and she appeared dressed as a Sicilian widow, her black hat with its black veil a gift from her brother from Amsterdam. I'd later wear a hat like it at her funeral. It was the worst social occasion of her life, she told me a couple of years ago, but she may have been exaggerating for effect. Sarah could be like that sometimes, though never with the important stuff. A job at the Manchester Evening News followed. We'd visit her one-bed flat in Salford, each weekend a different party with new friends or meal in a new restaurant. I'm not sure she ever cooked a meal in the tiny kitchen. It would have breached most food hygiene rules if she had. Cleaning was never Sarah's strong point, time wasted when she could be writing or reading. Her book recommendations were always on point, but I remember the ones from those years particularly. George R. R. Martin, a fantasy writer I might enjoy, back before the series was even a twinkle in HBO's eye. Back in London, she worked at The Guardian, and we'd meet at the Coach and Horses in Clerkenwell, sinking whiskies late into the night. It was there she told me she had a new boyfriend, Chris. Without delay, she introduced him to her friends. It was clear to us that she'd met the love of her life. They met via their support of their beloved Tottenham Hotspur, but their connection went far beyond football. They were truly compatible in every way. No one could make more of a drama out of a minor crisis than Sarah, her temper snapping at the smallest of hiccups. But Chris was impervious to her rage, laughing at its excess and bringing a counterweight of calm that allowed her to flourish. She called to tell me they had become engaged and drunk.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?